holding its annual golf outing at the Kenosha Country Club on Monday, June 20th for $150. Proceeds benefit scholarships for individuals with disabilities. Call 637-9128.
Support comes from Gateway Technical College. Tool and Die is a great career for people with manual dexterity, analytical skills, math aptitude, and a dedication to accuracy. Median wage about $50,000 annually. Apprenticeships available to Gateway graduates. Get started now at gtc.edu/programs.
Support for WGTD comes from Andreas. Visit andreasgifts.com to shop their exclusive hometown collection, including Kenosha t-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, books, and more. Andreas, Kenosha's hometown store since 1911.
WGTD is an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio and NPR. A cultural asset and a community resource, WGTD is owned and operated by Gateway Technical College, with additional financial support from the Wisconsin Public Radio Association and local underwriters whose customers value public radio.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning, listeners. This is Marlo Harmon, your host for today's Community Matters, and you are listening with me today at 91.1 HD WGTD. And I have a panel of three individuals with us today who are going to be talking about some of the changes and some of the things that we are going to be expecting from our Racine Unified School District Board. And with the changes and some of the new elections that happened in April, I'm really excited to hear how the individuals that we are meeting with today are going to share their thoughts and their views on how we are going to improve with our education in the Racine Public Schools. So today we have Mike Frontier, who is the president of RUSD, and this is his first time as president, but this is his fourth year on the board. And he is a former principal of the Racine Public School District. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you. Good to be here, Marla.
We also have Julie McKenna, and she's actually our longest RUSD board member among the group today. This year, she's entering to her 19th year on the board, and currently she is the treasurer of the Racine Unified School District. So welcome, Julie.
Thank you.
And we have a new member who actually just got elected this past April. His name is John Heckenlively. He has a master's degree in history, and he's an author and writer as well. So that's interesting. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Marlo.
So it is a pleasure to have all of you here with me. There's actually 9 board members, so to be able to get 3 of you was actually lucky for me, because sometimes I can't get all of the members. So we're going to start with the president, Mike. So as president and your first year, is it kind of intimidating to be president? What's the role and some of the duties in this position?
Well, I've seen president in operation, so it's somewhat of a learning curve, however. And the major responsibility of the president are meeting with superintendent, setting the agenda for the coming meetings, study sessions, and board meetings. Mm-hmm. Being responsive to concerns of my colleagues on the board,
yeah,
and the community. And I think we're off to a good start. We've had some staff development already, and I believe our first session in getting some feedback from my colleagues was very strong. And we're looking at perhaps new ways to structure our study sessions, in which we analyze issues before we vote on them. And at the end of the month, we meet the first Monday of the month in study session. So we're looking at ways of streamlining that and bringing more input to that session, maybe working more collaboratively with our partners at Central Office.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also working at new procedures that would allow for more processes that allow more feedback and input from our stakeholders.
Okay.
And it's very early on, and I think we have a consultant that we're, be fair to say that we're very pleased with, and hopeful that he'll bring us some even greater cohesion as we move forward here.
Yes, yes. And now, and Mike, you say that there's, you know, a slight learning curve to the position. Yeah. But John, now you are new in the role of board member. But with your background in history and education and at least that piece of it, what do you think that you can add differently as a new member, as one of the new members? We have quite a few new members.
Yeah, we actually have five new members. Yes. So this is, I think, probably the first time in history where it's you've had a majority of the board
right.
who is,
yeah.
is brand new. I think, well, is one thing that I did is just out campaigning is I knocked on about 1,800 doors over the course of the campaign.
Wow. And so impressive.
And so, you know, just getting out and talking to people and finding out what the people in the community are concerned about. And I think that that is one of the important roles. I mean, as we have had listening sessions in the in the past, and you know, I think it's probably something worthwhile to have in the future. In terms of some of the strengths that I bring to the board, well, is as a historian, as someone who studied history, is I have a real strong background in research. So, like in terms of looking at things and analyzing them and figuring out how the pieces fit together is that's one of my strengths.
Okay. Why did you want to throw your hat into the race when there was so much, you know, just PR and a lot of attention to it? And in the position, there's going to be a lot of attention to the new members as well.
Yeah,
why did you throw your hat into the race?
Well, it is, it's something I've been thinking about for a while is I have a long, I mean, aside from studying for to be a teacher myself, is my mom is a teacher.
Okay.
So, you know, education has always had a real strong value in my family. And, you know, as I have several friends, including Julie and Mike, who have served on the board.
Yes.
And, you know, I had several people, like both current and people who had been past board members, and they said, you know, you should run. We think you'd be valuable on the board. And then I found out, oh, hey, is there there was nobody running downtown. And so I said, okay, why
All
not?
Right.
Jump in.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to make that decision. And Julie, 19 years. That shows a sincere dedication and commitment. And listeners, I do have to be honest with you and kind of provide some information. Julie has been a part of the board so long that it is actually a very good pleasure to be able to sit down with her and pick her brain on some of these things because she's been a valuable member to the board. But now you are going to be treasurer, and I don't know if you've had that role before, but if you haven't, what new duties will you have with this position and this title?
I have not been treasurer before. I did run for it in the past, was turned down. I've been clerk twice.
All right.
So the new duties I have for treasurer is that I'm the chair of the audit committee.
Okay.
And then I also have to sign bank statements and, you know, verify that the statements are true, which the board helps decisions and signature on the checks and the paychecks and all that. So,
all right.
So it's a new opportunity for me to move in more of a leadership role, and I'd like to do more of a leadership role, but I was turned down. But being under 19 years, I definitely have a lot of ideas on what I wanted to change or do differently.
Yeah.
So,
So what do you think about this big change? Like John has said, this is the first time in history where a majority of the Racine Unified School District board has changed over. What are your thoughts about that?
It's a really big change, and having five new people that are just starting out And the biggest change is that we never worked with each other before.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
There's four of us that have worked before, but definitely with five new people, it's definitely a different team, a different different board. So.
Yes.
So the biggest challenge is learning how to work with each other and learning each other, because we really don't, all of us don't know each other that well.
All right. Well, thank you. All right. So, Michael, the four members of the board that are returning,
yes.
Who are the four members of the board that are returning?
Well, Julie, Dennis Weiser, Don Nielsen, and myself.
All right. And so those are the four. Now, Julie has said that, that learning curve and getting the new people on board and just acclimating them to the understanding of what the board does and
sure.
get them, kind of situated in some of the things. What are your thoughts about this heavy changeover as president and then having to have a vision for some new people who may not be aware
of? Well, probably the biggest challenge is to realize that a board member is a very unique role. It's not like an alderman. I used to be an alderman, and if your garbage wasn't collected, people would call up, and you'd get on the phone and call Director of Public Works.
Right, right.
So councilmen, in many roles, elected officers manage.
Mm-hmm.
They would call, but in a board member's role is to govern, and this is more in the policy area.
Right, right.
So let's say I had a call that, my child's bus is consistently late. This was a school district issue. Mm-hmm. I would not call the head of the bus department at Unified. I would tell the superintendent. In fact, that's the only person we are legitimately to talk through.
Mm-hmm.
Our sole employee is the superintendent.
Right.
Now, I've had to learn that because as a former principal, I know how to run a school district.
Right. And you're not the only principal who has that
thought.
Yeah,
I'm being, hopefully, you took it as I meant it. I have to step back and say, this is another person's responsibility. And so I think the biggest challenge, and it was my experience also, is not to get in the weeds, but to govern. We have a $330 million operation. This is a huge operation.
Yes.
And our
yes.
job is to set policy and let the people we employ oversee the district.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not doing the job, then we intervene and evaluate and hopefully improve. So we're working for a continuous improvement through our policies. And that's a learning curve for people because the community doesn't understand either. I'll get a phone call, regarding some significant issue for a parent, but it's not a school board member issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell them I cannot call and change the bus schedule.
Yeah.
Like your alderman.
No, you're
could.
Right. You're right. Speaking on policies, okay, I have had the pleasure of being able to have interview the superintendent of our USD, and I've also had the pleasure of interviewing the president of REA in the union.
Yes.
And both interviews offered different outlooks and different perspectives on some things. But with regards to policy, there is a difference of opinion. How do you kind of smooth out that so that people can be open-minded with regards to how do we work the policy or how do we change the policy when there seems to be two different ways to do it? So then how do you implement policy if one way believes it should be one way and another way believes that it should be another way?
The board's responsibility is to set goals and expect administration to put processes in place that bring those goals to fruition by respecting our stakeholders.
I'd like
Julie.
To chime in on this. I think besides having different opinions from administration and union groups or staff, the community has their own different opinions on that as well.
True.
And I would say I may have a different perspective on that than Mike a little bit. I would say that being on the board, that your people are voting, they elected you to be on board. You're supposed to be their representative.
True.
And so you're supposed to be able to carry their thoughts and ideas, or at least that they feel that they have someone that they can contact, if needed, But the geographical areas, the state legislature even put that more into place because they...
And Racine is the only one who's
Racine is the only one that's doing it. So I think the state legislatures or communities like wanted a contact person, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel that being on the board is more of a service, and I feel my role is I try to connect the person to the right department or right
Good
process.
Point.
Kind of similar to my alderman. When I call him up and I have a problem,
right.
He might say you have to call a different department, and then I tell them if they don't get a hold of them, I'll call back in a couple days. But you had asked a question earlier, what I haven't seen in the 19 years is when your relationships aren't together,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have a way to talking to each other,
yeah.
And no one's talking to each other, then you have bad outcomes. When I first started on the board, I went through similar situation, maybe even worse than what we went through this last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it took the district about 10 years to build those relationships with the staff and the community.
Yeah. Yeah.
It takes a lot of talking to each other to know each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Once you know each other, then you find you have a lot more in common and then not, but we don't have that.
But you're
saying
communication is key.
Communication's key. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You spoke briefly about the new voting process, Julie, and how Racine, the city of Racine is the only city in Wisconsin that is doing this new election process to select the school board members. And this is something that is different, but it was interesting that the voters spoke and said, we want individuals who support union ideas or support coming together collaboratively and looking at solutions and brainstorming ideas. This is what the voters did. And I don't think that that may have even been the idea when it first started out as such. But how do you believe that the new voting process has either added values to the goal of bettering education, this new process of allowing the people, allowing regular citizens to vote and say, I know this person or I hear what they're saying, and yes, I do want this person in there. How has that added value to the educational okay. process? So, John,
well,
I'm going to start with
that's
you.
That's the one with the political science. Anyway, I think one thing that is a value, and Mike and Julie can speak to this because they were elected in the old process
mm-hmm.
as well, is I think when you had an at-large district where you had, like probably around 10,000, maybe 12,000 houses in the district,
mm-hmm.
well, that's daunting. I mean, where do you even start with that?
Right.
Whereas now that it's split up into nine, is you actually have is now it's actually manageable where you actually can go out and the voting districts are small enough as to where you can actually go out and talk to maybe not
Good
all
point,
the voters,
John.
But a substantial number of the people who live in your district.
Speaking from the person who knocked on 1,800 doors.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's more manageable.
Yeah, it certainly. And Julie, I know you did a lot more doors because you had the chance.
Well, when I first started my running for a school board member, I did lots more doors because
okay.
people didn't know me.
Yeah, yeah.
And once people got to know me, I didn't have to do quite as many. But I still get people that know me that are outside my geographic district
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
I worked with before.
Yeah.
And so it does work a little bit. It's I have to be honest. It's a new process or new way of thinking. And I know with John, he talks about the schools in his district.
Okay.
I have only two schools in my district.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And so they're both elementary schools.
Okay.
And so it does. It makes you make you think a little bit in a different way. But
uh-huh.
the ultimate goal is that you're serving. You got to serve the whole district,
mm-hmm.
or the whole mm-hmm. unified mm-hmm. Racine Unified School District. That you care for all the students and all the schools.
Right.
But you're more accessible for the ones that are in your in your region or your district. And I would have to say it was a pretty big learning experience for both of us, because I had no idea who lived in my district, right. And they didn't know who was going to represent them in their district. And then it was harder for me because I had to run against another incumbent that was also well known and well respected.
Right, right.
So that was a hard choice for some of us.
So the point of the new process allowing you to actually get face to face with more people in a concentrated area is one of the benefits. You said that it also, because it's a specific district or region, the schools in that area, you can actually go to those schools and kind of focus your attention and get to know your voters a little bit more. And both of those add value to the educational process.
Well, I mean, the thing is, part of the way that Unified is structured is that I'm certain that you know, I have parents with kids in probably most, if not all, of the schools in the district. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like Julie says, is that while obviously the schools that happen to lie in your particular district, mm-hmm. maybe you feel more of an affinity to those, is, you know, ultimately is they're all our kids. And so, you know, you do have responsibility to the whole district and to make sure that everything is working.
But
well,
the more accessibility is one of the benefits of it being accessible.
I would add that potentially, let's say that an area does have a need, and the person from that represents them may be a stronger voice, maybe more able to carry the passion of that area.
Very good.
So
point.
At first blush, I was not enthralled with this because mm-hmm. we want the best people wherever they're from. Uh-huh. But in some ways, you need at least 5 votes to carry. One person is going to flip the whole district, and maybe a good advocate for a good idea that percolates up from, you know, John talking to people. I'm going to come back and hear what you have to say. There are some districts like Minneapolis, I believe, where they have 6 people that run. They have 6 districts, and then 3 people run at large. So mm-hmm. you're combining an individual focus with the broad. But we'll have to see. It's early on, and uh-huh. there may be some advantages here that we didn't see at first.
Mm-hmm. Mike, as the president, are there any new issues or are there any key student issues that will be focused on this upcoming year?
Well, definitely. Our high school seminar, in 2 years, we'll be going to academies where our high school sophomores will be picking from among 10 different career choices. Mm. And very exciting. And next year as freshmen, there'll be a seminar in which they begin to think about which area they want to go in. And they'll be having visits to more career-oriented opportunities. Mm-hmm. So this would be a dramatic change in our high schools. Another thing that we're very excited about on the board is our community school, which will be the Knapp School.
Mm-hmm. Which I've heard a lot about that.
Which will be kicking off in September in a new building.
Yes.
And it'll be you know, I'm not going to say 24/7, but there'll be much more opportunity for parents to get support right there. It's one of our few schools that's all walk-in, mm-hmm. so this should be really become a neighborhood hub, and we'll be watching that very closely.
I'm a big fan of community schools. Is because if you look at some of the places where they've really caught on, Portland is an excellent example. One place you would never suspect, but Kentucky is starting in the late 80s, is Kentucky made a commitment that they would set up, basically make every school in the state a community school. Mm. And what's interesting is that there's pretty much a bipartisan consensus. So even if you've had Republican legislatures, is there been a very strong consensus that education matters, yes. and that it is important to fund education? And Kentucky has really done it. That's They've done a good job.
Well, listeners, again, this is Marlo Harmon, your host for today's Community Matters. You are listening to 91.1 HD. WGTD. And our listeners are going to be pleased to hear information from the Racine Unified School District district board members. We have Mike Frontier with us today, who is the president of RUSD. We have Julie McKenna, who is the treasurer of RUSD. And we have John Heckenlively, who is serving his first term and was newly elected this past April. So welcome again, guys, and thank you for joining us. So, there has been a big issue over the last year with regards to the handbook, and it doesn't seem like that has resolved itself. There are still some people who believe that the handbook needs to be changed so as to allow for the superintendent to have a little bit more say in how to govern. And Mike, you talked about the entire process being a governing process. So what are your thoughts about the issues regarding the handbook, or is it a dead issue? It could be a dead issue, and maybe it's some of the people that I've talked to that are only still thinking about it.
Well, I think it's critical that we work through this issue. There are districts throughout the state that have done this after Act 10. And the board recently met in staff development session, and this was identified as certainly a concern we want to face.
Okay, yeah.
We can't afford to be wasting, if you will, energy, dissipating energy that's not going to the kids. So the board's responsibility is to suggest and help put in place a process that honors our stakeholders, where their voices are heard, and ultimately, of course, the board makes decisions about policy, but we want to build policy around, in terms of partnership, and that means everybody around the table has an equal voice in terms of suggestion. Ultimately, the board makes the decision. We're the elected. So, again, the key word here is process. What will we use? And very candidly, the process has broken down. And I think there's new leadership at the union, and I've had at least coffee with them. I think we're moving through a breakthrough. I think we're going to bring to our community more amicable resolution of conflict that honors the needs of our kids and our teachers and our employees.
What do you say to the question of how is it going to be fair and balanced with this board? Prior to this board, we had a board that seemed to be heavily for administration. And now it just seems like the pendulum has swung a whole different way. And now it seems like we just have a board that is strictly for union. And so people are saying, how can we have balance when it's like either or? It's one or the other, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to be balanced.
Perception may be that that many of the candidates were union backed, and that may be the case. But very honestly, and my colleagues can speak for themselves. When you sit up in front of that as a board member, you represent the whole community. It's a huge undertaking, and the unions have great values, but we have to balance everything, and that's the challenge of being an elected official. And I think this board will respond to that challenge in a fair way. But let my colleagues respond.
John, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, I obviously have a bias. I would say I'm a former labor journalist. I was with Racine Labor
for five years.
I'm not going to apologize for being in favor of labor unions. I think that as a historian, is almost every significant progressive change that occurred in the 20th century, if you look, is labor unions were behind it, including the civil rights movement. Is Walter Ruther's big supporter of the civil rights movement, and. So, I think you're right. That ultimately we do have responsibility to the whole community. I do think it's very important to listen to the teachers because they're the folks on the front lines. They're the ones who are there every day. They're the ones who are doing the most critical job, which is teaching our kids. And so, I mean, they're the ones who are closest to the ground. They're the ones who know what's actually going on a day-to-day. So, I do think it is important to certainly listen to them and take their opinions into account.
So you think that it's the teachers who really will know? Because, John, there are others that say, well, the superintendent would know. They're the CEO, and that is what has been shared with me. Okay. All right, John, I'll hold you to that thought. But, Julie, what are your thoughts about that?
I wanted to jump into that. You have, through the coursers, you have different styles of leadership, different styles of superintendents, and the ones that do really well and are the ones that know how to work with the staff.
Good point. Good point.
The superintendent prior, the handbook was developed with all parties in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to Act 10, I would have to say our staff, when they were approached in the right way, they gave up $6,000 apiece for cuts in health benefits.
Mm.
And it was a night that I cried, and 'cause that's a lot of money out of a family.
Right.
And
right.
So I think it all boils down to relationships.
Relationships. I think you also said in communication.
In communication. And so I think with the handbook, it has a committee there. I am in agreement that it went a standstill or got deadlocked.
Yeah.
But I also think, I don't think our community wants one extreme to the other. Mm-hmm. They just want to know that we all are working together, that we all care about each other. We may not agree 100% on all the issues. They just, I had the feeling in the campaign is that they didn't want it one way or the other. They just wanted to know that we value each other's opinion, even though it may differ. And that's probably a good thing, because if I talk to somebody that's completely different, I might learn something I didn't know before.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I don't talk to them, I might be missing a critical piece that would have made the district really successful.
You're right.
So I believe, as Mike might have stated, that we're working more towards a partnership and trying to find ways how we work together. And sometimes you have to acknowledge that we agree to disagree at times.
Right, right.
And how do you work that out for the benefit of all?
Thank you for that. No, very, very, very eloquent and very good point. Communication. John.
I just noted to Mike, I said, well, if anybody who watches Undercover Boss is certainly aware that oftentimes CEOs, they can be so focused on sort of the big picture and the broad outlines of the company that they aren't necessarily aware of a lot of the problems that are happening, on the ground.
You are absolutely right. That is true. That is true. Many times your vision can be so far out that you can't be in the present and seeing what are some of those fires that need to be put out right now with the individuals that you are working with. Very good point, guys. Some individuals believe that now that with the tables turning, that there may be a new superintendent. So I have to ask the question, if there is a new superintendent or if there becomes a search for a new superintendent, what are some of the characteristics that you hope that the possible new superintendent, if there were to be one, would have? Or what do you think are key characteristics? Communication, Julie, for sure. But Mike, what are some key key characteristics of a superintendent that you think benefits the process of partnership, getting visions done?
Well, I would just begin by saying that's, as board president, that's nothing we have spoken about in terms of our superintendent was evaluated last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was a constructive, positive evaluation.
Yes,
nothing in the works in that regard. But in terms of your question, the board has a succession plan, which we, in terms of how we go about looking if there were to be a new superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
The qualities, I think, are always about people who create trust, people who have, with a vision and a courage. There's tremendous turnover in superintendent ranks.
Mm-hmm. And we there is.
We would look for, and this is, I think, one of the strong things about Racine now is we have moved beyond, we begin to honor our municipalities that are part of Racine. I think our district for many years very candidly took for granted Mount Pleasant, Caledonia, Sturtevant, without listening to some of the concerns there. We're all in this together. We sink or swim together.
Right.
And there's a movement where those communities have endorsed our academy plan. So let's say something happened, our superintendent, you know, for some reason we didn't, we brought a new superintendent in. In the past, that person could change, turn the apple cart over.
Mm-hmm.
But we're saying we've embraced a vision now related to career competencies,
yes.
which is critical for our community. Racine is about 2,000 jobs east of the eye is 2,000 jobs light of west of the eye. If we had 2,000 more people working, we'd be equivalent. Our plan to provide career pathways will bring more of our students in line with careers right here. After all, our goal is that our grandkids grow up here, so we don't have to go all over the country visiting them. We want to create a community that is the beacon district that we were 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about what I see a coming together around the vision of our superintendent,
mm-hmm.
and so the quality of persevering with this vision
mm-hmm.
is very important for wherever our superintendent is.
And that's a very good point. And I do have to kind of remind the listeners that the new academy and some of the other things that are being looked into and worked on right now with Racine Unified School District has been under Dr. Lolly Hall. So her vision to start this, which has been received by, like you said, Caledonia and, you know, Mount Pleasant and Sturtevant and some of those other areas that were strongly considering trying to separate from the school district, Racine Unified. So very good point. John, what characteristics? Mike has talked about some characteristics of trust, some characteristics of being able to see a vision come to fruition and being able to lead that as some characteristics that are good, not only for a superintendent, but for individuals that are a part of a board to make things grow. Any other characteristics that you think would be significant for a superintendent to make the vision of education to all students important?
I would agree with Mike on the issue of trust and certainly communication,
yeah.
as I think that I think a large reason we had so many problems last year was because things basically bluntly became very dysfunctional, and that it got to the point where people were just so antagonistic that there was just people were unwilling to communicate.
Breakdown of the communication.
And I think there was a breakdown of communication. And I think it's one of the reasons I'm hoping that the block scheduling, I mean, nothing new goes off without a hitch. Let's, be blunt. Is any time you institute a major change in how you're running things, it's inevitable you're going to have problems.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful that as we implement this, is that we can manage to figure out ways to make this run as efficiently as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but I do think one of the big problems is that I think a lot of the communication that needed to take place that would have made Block run a lot more smoothly and made the implementation a lot easier, it just didn't happen because things were just so dysfunctional last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a time when really the administration needed to be communicating and say, okay, we want to make this change, and say, okay, what do you need?
Right.
You know, what do you need as teachers to make this work?
The block scheduling has been something that has people talking, has students talking, has parents talking, teachers talking, as well as administration. And this is something new. There had been talk that it should wait or maybe hold off for a couple of years. Update me on what are the thoughts of block scheduling. Is it going to start this year, Julie?
I guess I'll chime in. The only thing in the superintendent search, I hate thinking about that until they actually leave, because I never want to give up. And the only other thing I wanted to add that my other two colleagues didn't add is I think the superintendent really belongs to the community. Mm-hmm. And when you look for a new superintendent, it's the most important that the board reaches out to the community. What do they want in a leader, and what do they want for their schools? Mm. And if all the superintendent's research or that I've been through, the board always does, and that's a very important that we reach out to the community. But I don't like talking about that until she leaves or doesn't leave. And
yeah, I didn't know that.
I want to give her benefit of doubt, and you try to make things work. Block scheduling, interesting enough, that became a pretty big campaign theme. Interesting enough, the board never had a chance to discuss it, and it never came to the board for a vote. I didn't find out about it until a meeting with Caledonia, and so I was left out, and so I didn't get a chance to offer my opinion on what I thought about it, one way or the other. And, up to this day, it hasn't come to the board for discussion. Being that said, it would have been nice to have a discussion, because I think there's going to be some people that do it really well with the block scheduling, mm-hmm. and there'll be some students that don't. I always like to have more options available. I can see where the block scheduling enables the Career Academy to pull the students out for the careers. I can see that, to miss as many. Other than that, we're hoping for the best, and they'll have to, hopefully it goes well. And Career Academies is something that we tried many, many years, but we didn't have the resources to do it to the degree that the Academy is going to bring, so that part will be exciting for me.
All right. Michael, any thoughts about the block scheduling piece of it and how that can hopefully help?
Well, as a new board, as a new president, I think it's very important when we put innovations in place, we have a framework in place that gives the board feedback on how it's progressing. Uh-huh. And whatever major innovation we do, that is our responsibility. So we'll be working to get feedback along this path as we move in this new direction. There was some feedback, I believe, in January was presented to us in terms of, in general, about what shape it would take.
Okay.
So my hope is to get that in place, so as this progresses, we see hopefully progress in attendance and student engagement and ultimately more credits being earned.
All right. If a community member wanted to find out more information about what's going on in the school board and what you guys are doing, when are the meetings?
Meetings are the first and third Mondays of the month. Typically, our work sessions start at 6, and our business meeting on the third Monday of the month starts at 6:30.
And I just want to clarify something I said really earlier. There was discussion on the board for study sessions for the block scheduling, but the board was not given that decision.
Right.
Okay. Implement it.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you joining us and discussing this issue with regards to how we're educating our students and how you are serving on that board to make that happen. Again, listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that you enjoyed this session as much as I did. Get involved in your school. Get involved in public education, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Mm. Thank you, and I hope to have you join us next time for Community Matters. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
WGTD is an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio and NPR, a cultural asset and a community resource. WGTD is owned and operated by Gateway Technical College, with additional financial support from the Wisconsin Public Radio Association and local underwriters whose customers value public radio.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, sign up now for Gateway Summer Adventures for Kids. This year's classes include a CSI adventure, tap dancing, video game design, theater, and more. For more information, including registration, visit gtc.edu/summercamps.
Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring Wonder Grow. Looking to maximize growing space on your patio?